Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Professor Evan Ellis, Latin American Research Professor, U.S. Army War College, Strategic Studies Institute, as we attend to the big stories for 2022 in the new world in South America, in Latin America, and also including the French-speaking Haiti for this presentation. We begin in North America, Central America. This is Mexico, because the president of Mexico, a very popular figure when he was elected, AMLO, called affectionately AMLO, López Obrador, has now contracted COVID-19 for a second time. He's said to be isolating at home and continuing to work. We can presume it's Omicron, the less dangerous of the iterations we've had these last years. But it's an occasion to talk about López Obrador, his ambitions. Not at midway. He's had the midterm elections, and he was not successful in winning an overall majority for his ambitions, but he still lays them out there. Professor, a very good day to you. Thank you very much for this. If I understand correctly, the president of Mexico is a man who wants to concentrate power, especially the power of the state and in the executive branch, something that once was true in Mexico and that over these last several presidencies has been less so. The story starts with the electricity mandate. In other words, the income from the electricity to be concentrated in the executive. It also mentions Pemex. What is the vision that López Obrador has for Mexico? Whether he has been successful or not, he continues with it. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. A pleasure to be on the show. You make a very important point that AMLO certainly is an old school machine politics style politician, not unlike we know in the United States and places like Chicago in the old days. He really has taken that forward from back when he was head of the mayor of Mexico City, head of the PRD machine there, and has tried to apply some of those principles, probably more workable in the 1970s now to national politics. But as you point out, especially with an attempt to have a larger state role in the oil sector, which is one of Mexico's leading export revenue earners, as well as in the electricity generation sector, it's raised a lot of concerns. And so the two key things that he's trying to do in those sectors. So first of all, really trying to channel new oil exploration and exploitation through the national oil company, Pemex. Pemex is already about $115 billion in debt. It's grossly inefficient. It's seen as tied to corruption. They just approved an additional $3 billion of new loans to help Pemex continue to be afloat. And so there's a lot of concerns that this is really reversing some of the very successful oil sector reforms done in 2016 under a previous president, Enrique Peña Nieto, that helped to revitalize oil production and reverse some of the declines in Mexican oil fields, which have now dropped from about 3.5 million barrels a day down to about 1.7 million. But the complement to that is actually also in the electricity generation sector. And so the state electricity firm, CFE, AMLO is trying to funnel all projects through them and to privilege them over private sector investment in electricity generation. The problem is that CFA is vastly more inefficient and expensive in its electricity generation. It's estimated by one source that about 40% higher costs per kilowatt hour for CFE-generated electricity versus private electricity. And also, frankly, it's going to create an electricity deficit. There's an estimate that about $44 billion in Mexican investment in the electricity sector could be jeopardized by AMLO privileging CFE. And these are not the only two sectors, but it really is illustrative of some of the problems that this creates for Mexican prosperity. Because if you have less oil export revenues, if you have higher energy generation costs, that makes industries that are critical to the Mexican economy, like the auto sector and others, less competitive. It makes production in Mexico for export to the United States less competitive. And overall, it just creates a worse situation in which Mexico, as you pointed out with AMLO's COVID, is just still reeling from the COVID-19 pandemic.
The presidents prior to López Obrador are said to have sought to liberalize energy markets, whatever that means, decentralize or privatize. What is the driver for renationalizing them or putting the power in the executive? Is it subsidies? Is it controlling prices, wage price control? Is it giving electricity away to the poor? How does this benefit the executive?
It was from a school which was really dominant in Latin American thinking largely in the 1970s, which was that it was best to put development in the hands of state-owned firms and develop the industries for the people in that style. However, most of Latin America learned the lesson in the 1970s and in 1980s that led to a lot of corruption, a lot of inefficiency. Almost across the region, that experiment did not turn out well, leading to a privatization move in the 1990s. However, the idea that AMLO is pursuing, again, is the idea that really went back to the early days of the creation of Pemex, which is to say, okay, the oil is ours, which means that we need to channel it through a national firm rather than essentially contracting out to private investment. So, for example, in the case of Pemex, they would prefer to work through loans from the Chinese, for example, with the large, very expensive new Dos Bocas refinery, rather than contracting out to a private sector firm to do that type of a development. In the same way with CFE, the idea is that to actually have the state-owned firm actually produce the electricity, which tends to be not only a lot more inefficient, but it also tends to rely on a much dirtier energy matrix, which again, really impedes some of the innovations that we saw previously in the electricity sector with a lot more wind and a lot more solar energy generation coming into Mexico, but through the private sector. So again, the idea is that AMLO wants to do it through state firms. But again, it's a recipe that hasn't worked out well in Latin America in the past. And so there's a lot of criticism that it's really moving Mexico in the wrong direction.
Mr. López Obrador is a popular figure. He has been associated, however, most recently with some of the populist left leadership throughout Latin America. Does this benefit him in Mexico? Does it make him a controversial figure or the grand old man of the left guiding the large state of Mexico as an example of others? How is he seen?
Well, different leftist leaders across Latin America are different in their approach and in their ideology and in their style. So you're certainly right that AMLO, and especially through his foreign minister, Marcelo Ebrard, has tried to reach out and build different alliances to other parts of the Latin American left, especially in Central America and the Caribbean, where Mexico has traditionally had a lot of influence. But you know, certainly AMLO is no Nicolas Maduro. But what you do see is he wins a lot of goodwill with the Mexican people. He, from the time he was mayor, he spends a lot of time on doing media interviews, and he has a morning program in which he talks sometimes literally for hours to the Mexican people. And he does, in his style, have a very kind of grandfatherly, likable, decent person quality to him, which the Mexican people, that decency often resonates very well with them. And so he creates that bond at a personal level, even if his politics and policies are seen disastrous by those who are, you know, experts in sectors like petroleum and energy.
The trouble along the Mexican-American border is obvious. It has to do with migration. And it also has to do with various pieces of legislation that may or may not be active. I don't want to get into the details of the border, but is López Obrador seen as a helpmate to Washington by the Biden administration, or is that story no longer relevant because of the overwhelming numbers?
Interestingly, the Biden administration, like the Trump administration, recognizes the critical relationship that we have with Mexico, both economically through USMCA, as well as in the role in controlling the flows across the borders. Ironically, when the Biden administration was forced to continue the stay in Mexico policy of the Trump administration through a U.S. Supreme Court decision, Biden and AMLO, both who were reluctant to have the program, were forced to make it work out. One of the ironies was that during the early phases of the Biden administration, AMLO did a lot of pushback against U.S. security policies. It passed a new security law, which greatly restricted the ability of the United States to interact with their Mexican colleagues. It limited immunity by DEA agents and other U.S. security personnel. It basically dropped all cases against a very corrupt former head of the Mexican army, Salvador Cienfuegos, and then published the Department of Justice indictment, all 700 pages of it, in the internet, putting U.S. sources and methods at risk. So there's a lot that AMLO did early on to really bristle the United States and hurt that. Now, despite that, however, as time has gone on, the Biden administration, I think, is adopted a very open, amicable policy to try to get along the best that they could. And I think that's begun to bear fruit. You saw that in the new bicentennial security framework, which replaces Merida, but which, in essence, in going after root causes, so to speak, of the violence in Mexico, really is seen by many as not having a lot of substance to it. In addition, of course, you had a relatively positive trilateral summit, including Prime Minister Trudeau in Canada. So the relationship, at least superficially, on a good standing, if the level of actual cooperation and things that we're really working together is not that great. And certainly Biden's policy to have a path to citizenship for Mexicans living in the United States was so popular with AMLO that actually AMLO called him out and actually interfered to some degree in U.S. politics by talking about how the AMLO administration in Mexico was going to keep their eye on Republican opponents in Congress of that path to citizenship. So it's a mixed relationship, but it's probably one that is continued best, that necessary cooperation by each side trying very hard not to do things that offend the other.
A detail here, Mexico, AMLO, President AMLO, López Obrador, has invited the president-elect of Chile, Gabriel Boric, to visit his country and talking of a strategic alliance. This supports the grandfather of the left, I guess, left-center formula that you've mentioned here, and an alliance between Chile and Mexico, that doesn't seem geographically sensible, but it does promise merit because we could see that Chile is going to steer a course similar to López Obrador's. How do you analyze this on the fly of this detail that López Obrador and Boric have something in common?
Right now, AMLO and his foreign minister, Ebrard, who is probably the candidate to replace AMLO for the next Mexican presidency, but they're trying to thread a very cautious policy, leading the left without being too excessively authoritarian and populist. And so on the one hand, as you point out, Boric, who was legitimately elected despite some of the concerns over his unrealistic and expensive proposals, is okay. AMLO actually almost sent somebody from the Mexican foreign ministry to the new inauguration of Daniel Ortega in Nicaragua, that staged November 2021 election. At the very, very last minute, the Mexican foreign ministry decided not to send someone there. You have similar things where Ebrard wanted to reach out and build new relationships with Kim Jong-un and North Korea, who, of course, just launched those hypersonic missiles. Right now, what you see, I think, is an attempt to be a leader of the left without doing so in a way that positions Mexico in violation of at least the democratic principles that it still tries to stand for.
I'm speaking with Professor Evan Ellis, the Latin American research professor at the U.S. Army War College. CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bauer.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.